from our epistle reading, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the foundational idea of Christianity. Contained within this core idea, one can find threads to all the other big ideas of the faith. The Trinity, the Incarnation, the Atonement, how we think about us as humans, and even how we're supposed to live can all be unfurled from the idea that this feast celebrates. This is the highest feast in the church's calendar because it celebrates the most important moment in the Christian faith, the most important moment in all of history, the moment when, as St. Peter put it in his Acts sermon, God raised Jesus on the third day. So I'd like to think with you this morning about one of the implications of this truth, which St. Paul discussed in our reading from Colossians this morning. One of the implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul puts it, is that we are freed up to set our minds on things above and not to get preoccupied with the things here on earth. That is, I want to suggest that the resurrection of Jesus Christ and with it the promise of our own resurrection undergirds a sort of holy distancing between us and the concerns of this world. Maybe to put it bluntly, Jesus is alive. We can chill out. Now, I don't know about you, but I find modern life to be pretty challenging. I mean, I'm all for the advances we've made in human history. I like democracy and antibiotics and microwaves and driving 75 miles an hour down the road, not riding a horse. But with these advances, I think has come a constant bombardment of concerns, of messages, of tasks, of complexities in our own personal lives, as well as our communal, national, or global lives. We try to squeeze everything into our days with our jobs, our families, our friends, our schools, our kids' schools, hobbies, recreations. And on top of that, we have those little devices in our pockets and purses that fill our eyes with all manner of things we can think about, from what our friends across the country are eating to how those across the world are not eating. We have instant access to a million things that we could be worried about. War, famine, terrorist attacks. I didn't even know I needed to be worried about an ocean liner destroying a major bridge, but the events of this week showed me that's a possibility. It's a lot to take in. It might be too much to take in. Modern life is tough, and it's enough to cause a sort of constant low-grade anxiety, an undercurrent of fear, of worry, of tension that we feel in our minds and even in our bodies. St. Paul reminds the Colossians here, and I think by extension us, that because Christ has been resurrected and because we too will be resurrected, we are free to distance ourselves from these earthly concerns. We're free to turn our minds towards those things that are beyond earth. We're free to not let this bombardment consume us. Now let me first register a little caveat. Although I think that ultimately the resurrection of Christ does in fact solve everything, I don't think that means that simply thinking real hard about the resurrection will solve every mental challenge that we face. I'm focusing here on kind of this low-grade anxiety or underlying tension that's so common in modern life. But many of us face challenges that are more acute forms of anxiety. And if one's suffering from a debilitating anxiety, we shouldn't be so naive to think that there's just one single silver bullet to solve all of our problems. I think mental challenges are multifaceted, and so we need multifaceted approaches to addressing those issues. So thinking about the resurrection along with therapy and medication and community and healthy habits and et cetera, is the way to health there. Nevertheless, I think right thinking about and meditation on the resurrection of Christ can be a key component to our human flourishing, and is one of the facets of the solutions that we need to solve the challenges and the anxiety of our lives. So turning now to our epistle reading this morning in Colossians 3, St. Paul has been, in this letter, leading these new Christians through thinking through the implications of the resurrection of Christ. If, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, then there are profound downstream effects for those who accept this truth. And Paul begins this chapter with not just reminding us that Christ has been raised, but he reminds us that we too have been raised with Christ. He says in verse 1, Paul does, if then you have been raised with Christ. And I think this phrase here is an allusion to the baptismal theology that he's been expounding earlier in Colossians, and we see this really clearly in the book of Romans. Last night at our Easter vigil service, we had two baptisms back there in the font, one baby and one adult. And our view is that baptism is itself a type of death and resurrection, a type of death and rebirth. When those two last night were baptized, they took on the arc of the narrative of Christ's pre-ascension career. Through baptism, we are buried with Christ into his death, as St. Paul says in Romans 6:4. And so too then we are raised with Christ through baptism into his resurrection. St. John Chrysostom comments on Colossians 3. He writes, our first self is buried not in earth, but in water. Not destroyed by death, but buried by death's destroyer. Not by the law of nature, but by the governing command that is stronger than nature. Christ's death has cosmically undone death. Christ's resurrection has overcome the power of death. If we've been baptized, then we are buried with Christ, and we're raised with him as well. But this isn't just some future sense, some far-off, distant truth. Rather, Paul here in Colossians is talking in the past tense, actually. For those of us who are baptized followers of Christ, we have died, and we have been raised with Christ into a new life, becoming a new people, as Paul says elsewhere. Being a follower of Christ means presently living a resurrection life. And in fact, the Apostle Paul here drives this point home in verse 3 when he says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Which I admit is a rather odd way of talking, especially that phrase, you have died, which is even odder than at first blush, because the implication here is that Paul is saying, not only have you died, past tense, but you're still dead. That's kind of weird. What's up with that? Well, my thought is, and I don't want to get too cute on this, but it sort of seems like what we have here is that those who are hidden in Christ are kind of like a ghost from Harry Potter or Pirates of the Caribbean who gets like shot by a cannon or run through with a sword. Then they say, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. I think this is the sort of posture that Paul is inviting us to take on with respect to physical death and the concerns of this world. It's like telling all those anxieties and tensions, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. I've already died in Christ and been raised with him to a new and eternal life. Physical death had been a great cause of fear. But St. Athanasius says the followers of Christ actually mock death. Athanasius writes this, instead of fearing death, by the sign of the cross and faith in Christ, Christians trample on it. We Christians can't actually be in a situation that's a matter of life and death because death has already come. You're already dead, Paul says. But your life is hidden in Christ, and so with Christ, we're alive. And I love that picture of our lives being hidden in Christ's life, hidden like tucked away, secured into, nestled into. Our lives are tucked into Christ's life. Like we say in the baptismal liturgy, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And so our lives belong to Christ. They are in Christ. St. Paul even goes so far as to say elsewhere, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are joined into Christ's death, so we're already dead to this old life, this first life. And we're joined into his resurrection, living in the present, a new life, an eternal life. Not some distant future thing we'll eventually get to, but right here, right now, our lives are hidden, tucked into Christ's resurrection. So suppose we buy this. Suppose we accept this truth, that Jesus Christ is no longer dead, but alive, and that we have died to an old life and now live hidden in him. What does this mean for our own flourishing and thriving? What implications might this have for our low-grade modern anxiety? Well, for St. Paul, the truth of the resurrection undergirds his instructions to seek the things above and to set your mind on those things that are above. The resurrection of Christ provides this conceptual framework for that holy distance between ourselves and the cares and concerns of this world. The things of this world are fleeting, they're passing away, they're not forever. And we're already dead to them, and instead we are alive to the things that endure, the things that are above, where Christ presently is sitting in that place of ultimate authority. But in a sort of paradox, I think, this distance between us and the world, the distance created by setting our minds on things that are above, I think actually serves to help us more effectively engage in our earthly activities moment by moment. That is, there's actually something about chilling out and not taking things too seriously that enables us to engage more proficiently, more effectively, more deeply with the tasks at hand. And I think about it like this. Athletes or musicians talk about this paradox of like being in the zone. You know, baseball season just kicked off here, right? Just a couple days ago. You can imagine the pitcher on the mound who gets so consumed with analyzing the pitch count or the batter's stance, his finger position on the ball, and so on, that he tenses up and ends up not throwing the ball as smoothly or as naturally as he could. And then, you know, bam, home run. Rather, it's the pitcher who chills out, who trusts his preparation, who throws the pitch like it were just him and the catcher playing around, who throws like the game's already won. That's when he's able to hit those top speeds or find that perfect placement. Or perhaps simply for the musician, you can imagine like the singer who is so concerned with the audience and the lighting and the stage and the gravity of the moment that she freezes up and is unable to sing as she knows how. Rather, it's when the singer chills out, when she relaxes her jaw, lets the sound flow from deep within her, that she's able to hit those notes with a purity and a clarity. There's something about adopting this posture of, this isn't really that big of a deal, that actually enables us to perform when it is a big deal. And I think this is the posture towards all of life, and especially perhaps towards our modern life, that Christ's resurrection opens up for us. We don't have to attend to that low-grade anxiety. We don't have to let that underlying tension seize us up. We're dead to the world and alive with Christ. Jesus is alive. We're free to relax, and not just relax like lay in a hammock and do nothing, but like the athlete or the musician, the resurrection enables us to get in the zone, to relax and live the life of obedience that God calls us to. Modern life has bequeathed us innumerable things to raise our anxiety, and we feel that tension all too often in our minds and our bodies. It's also become somewhat commonplace in the modern attempt to avoid these anxieties to practice like mantras or sayings that might ease our worries. To my mind, I think we have all the mantras we need right here in Colossians 3, or perhaps even in our creeds. And again, for acute anxiety, we're going to need more than this. We're going to need a multifaceted approach to mental health. But for that sickness that is simply modern existence, let me just suggest adopting some of these expressions of the core truth of the Christian faith as a reminder to set our minds on things that are above. When that low-grade anxiety starts bubbling up, perhaps you might just remind yourself, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, as the Apostles' Creed says. Or if you catch yourself doom-scrolling on your phone through all the world's worries, you might put the phone down first, and then remember, on the third day, he rose again, as our Nicene Creed confesses. Whereas you're looking into the week and you're wondering when you're going to squeeze in all those activities and work and relationships and on and on and on, you can stop and remind yourself, I'm hidden in Christ, so I can set my mind on things above, and then more deeply engage with all those tasks that lay before us. Or it's not directly in Scripture, but it might just be easiest to tell yourself simply and bluntly, Jesus is alive. Chill out. Amen.